It's not complicated. Call it creative. Call it art. Call it design. It's the Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
Oh my gosh. Good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday. You're listening to the Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. You know, let's get a couple things out of the way early.
Okay.
One, where did January go?
Two. I don't know.
Okay. Two, I was ready. I was really excited. I mean, like, I loaded up last year on turtlenecks.
Will you share?
I did. Like, I did turtleneck. Not. Yeah. No, I don't know what it was. I don't know what it was. My planning, my forethought, my vision. Maybe it's just because I know where I live. And I got to tell you, I was ready for this these deep, cold plunges.
Yeah.
Going in. Yeah, I was ready.
I am okay with the cold air,
yeah.
The cold temperatures.
Okay.
It's when the wind blows, and then I'm done. But that can be said for me when it's negative 30, whatever.
Just everyone go buy turtlenecks. Like, you're great.
Yeah, I do.
And load up.
Yeah.
Head wraps, like whatever you need.
I have a heated vest.
Mm.
I wear long underwear starting in like August.
Yeah, the heated vests are very popular.
Oh, yeah. Well, they
work. Are those safe?
Yeah. It's just like a little battery pack thing, like a phone charger.
I feel like, I don't know. We're going to find out, like, back in the day when we used to wear the heated vests, there's been
Nancy spontaneously
class action
combusted.
Lawsuits against the EMF waves that are, like, pulsating through your body because
They're fine.
I don't know. Anyway, I digress. So how is the new house? So I'm excited to hear you're in, it's closed, and you're in demo.
Yeah.
This is exciting for you.
So we're a week and 2 days into it.
Wow.
And we have
And you're already into demo?
Oh,
What did you do? Show up at the closing with like a hatchet?
Yes.
Like what is like a sledgehammer?
Yes. Well, I went straight from closing to the house and we started ripping things apart.
That's fantastic.
I'm not kidding. And then the next day, Tom and Amy came over and you should see what we did that day.
Oh, wow.
Complete kitchen, completely gone.
All right. I love that this is a do-it-yourself exercise. How old is the home? Just to fill everybody
1880
in.
1880 it was built.
1880.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I love those kinds of homes.
And I tell you what.
What are you finding? I know you're finding stuff. What are you finding?
Every time I walk in, there's something, like, I love it more.
Oh, it's
so
that's
what we've
so great
done is pulled up carpet.
Okay.
This is the best thing that I found so far.
Oh.
So I pulled up carpet.
Because you know it's older homes can be both diamond and dirt. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
You're finding both diamonds and oh gosh moments. Right?
Oh gosh moments was the kitchen.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it was
a disaster.
A disaster.
Was it Frankenstein?
Yeah, I don't know how they lived.
I know, but did they do it like they just like got bored one day and grabbed a six pack and started remodeling? Because
perhaps
that happens a lot in the Midwest.
That definitely could have happened.
You know, two buddies get together thinking they can just remodel a kitchen in the weekend.
I have so much 4-inch square white ceramic tile from the walls and the counters and everywhere in
that. The counters were tile?
Yes. Everywhere in that room.
It tells me everything I need to know.
Mm-hmm. That I'm not sure. I'm going to have to call the garbage company and see if they can even, if their truck's even going to be able to pick this trash
I'm
can
sorry,
up. Because that's the only place I had
it. You charge by the weight.
Right. It's the only place I had to put it.
Yeah.
So anyway, we ripped out the kitchen and everything, but.
What did you find? No, what did you find? What did you find that was good? You said you found something good under the carpet.
The original floors are 4-inch wide, rough planks. Absolutely gorgeous.
Oak?
I have no idea.
All right. I'm gonna
That's
come
a
over.
Tie question.
I'll have to come over.
Yeah, you'll have to come over. But. So we pulled up two bedrooms. They were great. Easy to pull up. Mm-hmm. Tack strip. All the nails are gone. Everything's gone. All cleaned and everything. And a hallway, same thing. Got to the third bedroom that we were pulling up, and they took this carpet that already has the pad on the back, and they glued it to the wood floor, the original wood floor of this home. I am having to use a heat gun and peel it up inch by inch. That's how thick. It's like they took a thick roller and rolled an eighth of an inch of carpet glue, mastic, on this floor, and then took a steamroller.
Oh, I'm sure.
Commercial grade steamroller.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
And rolled over it to make sure that every molecule of glue touched every molecule of the back of that padding.
Back in the day, I'm sure they called that a quality install.
Yeah, well, no. So I'm begging people, if you have a house like this and you're restoring it, please. It is so much easier for me to repair the nail holes from the tack strip along the edge than it is to sit Indian style on the floor with a heat gun and heat it up, scrape, heat it up, scrape. That's the only thing. We tried sanding.
Are you going to refinish it?
Well, I have to now.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
the ones that we pulled up, we don't have to refinish.
What?
Yeah. I mean, maybe there might be a couple little places, but no, they don't need it. Uh-huh.
Okay, that's incredible.
Yeah.
That's lucky. That's good.
That's very lucky.
That's what you hope to find.
Exactly. Right? Except that I have another room, the front hallway, and potentially the front stairways that are all glued down like that.
Okay. Well,
so that's what they did right.
when they were trying to modernize and, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So then this 70s
and 80s up these older homes.
I think this was earlier. Well, I can tell you that the kitchen, there's no possible way that anything had been done to it since before 1970.
Wow.
Absolutely no possible way.
Okay.
Uh-huh. The stove was not a stove.
Listen, I'm sure during the 50s when it was all the age of modern.
Of course.
And you know, rockets and moon landings, right? Like
Nobody,
the older homes, that wasn't in vogue.
Hey, it was top of the line, I'm sure.
You know, it wasn't in vogue. And so everyone just started to just, right?
Yep.
Try to modernize the older home the way that you could. And now it's just hilarious that we're yearning and we're longing for the charm and the tradition back in our new builds in our McMansions to get actual molding and real detail back into our interiors.
There's a beautiful clawfoot tub in the bathroom upstairs that they built a wall around and tiled it.
Okay.
Instead of, like, it's the clawfoot tub is gorgeous.
But they built like a water wall around.
Yeah,
like a splash wall.
Yeah,
or
like Ty kept saying it's not a clawfoot tub, and I said yes, it is. And so I got into it.
Meaning they built a wall around it.
Yeah, you couldn't tell. And so
it looked like a drop in, even though it was, oh my gosh.
Pulled some tile out and got a flashlight and looked down in there.
Is it in good shape?
It appears to be. I mean, I will probably like the interior of the tub is fine.
Wow.
The outside, I will probably, because I can't tell what it looks like. We haven't torn. Well, actually,
I'm going to be excited to get over there next week.
It's cool.
Okay. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm really excited for you to go on this adventure, because that is one of the things that I think that was the hardest thing about the two homes that we moved away from into the home that Julie and I are in now is that I knew the charm that was inherently in the homes, and I was trying. We did a very nice job with the two previous homes that were right around 1920 when we lived back in Illinois or in Chicago, in the Chicagoland area. We loved the charm that they gave it, that they gave us. Like it gave you something to work with.
Yep.
Some of these newer homes, especially the ones that were built, sort of like, I don't know.
Cookie cutter.
Yeah, cookie cutter. They just don't give you that charm. And it's been such a great, interesting start to the year. I wanted to mention a couple things before we start the show. And we're going to start with a topic that I think is really something that I want to dig into. And I think we're going to be talking about this a lot. It's not going away. In fact, it's one of those things that I think is going to be transformational. And it's going to be transformational in every aspect of our lives. And I don't come to the airways today as any kind of expert. I can just share with all of you today on today's show about how AI is actually going to be transforming how we do almost everything. And having a discussion about specifically within interior design and project management, what it looks like from the designer's and the principal's seat, and what it looks like as a tool, what are the pitfalls? What are the amazing ways that it can actually assist clients? And I'm getting a pretty broad spectrum of sample across a few platforms that I've just started to really explore and now actually really begin to leverage. So I'm really interested, Nancy, to have this conversation about what this means. Because I know you're into that Listen, you are always at the forefront of sort of like, okay, well, what's kind of coming next? You know, like, what does this really mean? And, and you know, and you're that on the, listen, you are that way on the political side of things. You are that way on the lifestyle side of things, right? And yet, at the same time, you appreciate the old school way.
Right.
Which is something that I think is, you know, when we talk about AI, everybody kind of makes, some people get really excited and some people make AI face, right?
Yeah.
Like they make AI face in ways that they never made Google face. I got to be honest with you. Okay. Maybe because nobody really saw Google coming. Does that make sense? Like, you know, it was up there.
Possible.
Like it was a little bit more word of mouth, right? Then all of a sudden you're like, oh, well, I'll just Google that. And it became a verb. Like if you can imagine the early stages of the search engine.
Right.
You know, and everybody was on AOL. Okay. And when you dialed in, it was like, meh.
Right.
Like you could literally hear the dial-up tone, right? Mm-hmm. Like that is, it's very interesting to me that I've been very fortunate to see this play out in my lifetime. I mean, I go back to no cell phone, black and white TV.
Right.
Now to AI.
Right.
There are very few generations, I think, that have sort of seen that and have experienced that, at least that spectrum. And I don't know. In AI right now, like if I just gave you a take and I said, hey, give me your thoughts on that. Like, give me like, where do you think that that's going? And what is your visceral reaction, right? And then if you sit back and think about it, you know, where do you really think that's going? Just from your perspective, I'm curious.
I think there are some very, very productive ways to use AI. For instance, in the medical field, in your industry, for sure, because it gives people so much better of a vision of, you know, what the project is, and it's, you know, more 3D and just more interactive and things like that. And there's just so many ways that you can use it. I will say this, in my industry, I am a little fearful.
You are.
About what AI can do. Yeah.
Okay, and tell me in what ways?
I think artists are afraid of it.
Okay.
They can be, their voices can be generated. You know, you're talking about
remastered,
bootleg, you know, all kinds of stuff that you know, the music industry, the theater industry, I think they're all kind of a little nervous about, you know, their original work being compromised by AI in some way, whether it's copied or reproduced or anything like that. And so we're all, so there's a little bit of, and in local radio.
I can see that.
You don't want fake people anyway.
Mm.
Okay. So you could do that. I could literally fire all my jocks, program a software to fill in where the jocks are through AI instead of having live people. And that would, I mean, we would be, I would never do it because that's not,
I mean,
what
listen,
we
the,
are.
The use of these tools like ChatGPT and Perplexity and Midjourney, and those are just a few. I mean, those are the ones that we're going to kind of dig into when we get back from the break. But I'm going to tell you that they are, even the limited use that I've had on the interior design side, they're going to be transformational.
Sure.
And if you're not exploring how to use them and understand them, you will be blindsided by how powerful, how interesting, how detailed, and in most cases, how helpful they actually can be if you understand them.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to dig into AI and the design industry when we come back. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. And we're just starting our discussion here about AI, which I think is, it's a topic I think we need to cover because I you know, listen, we don't talk a lot of technology on this show.
No.
You know, sometimes we talk about, you know, new products and sustainability and, you know, new manufacturing techniques that can, you know, like the, you know, LVT, right? Luxury vinyl tile.
Right.
And how a lot of that luxury vinyl tile now from a distance makes it look like it might be look like real wood. And the technologies involved in evolving products. We do talk about that on this show. This AI is something totally different.
How are you using it, though?
Well, let's dig into that, because I think it started with my understanding with ChatGPT about how it could just clean up my communication.
Sure.
Let me just describe for everybody what that looked like at the base level. Because, again, I'm not coming to you this morning on a Sunday morning as an expert in AI. What I want to have is a discussion about how what we're seeing from the designers and principals chair at the Design Coach, and what we think might come next for it. And then also what we're finding are its limitations, at least currently, because I am finding that there are some limitations. And also, what's the risk for dehumanizing the process, which is what you referenced in the last segment with artists in the music industry being worried about, right, their original content being reworked, even their voices being AI mimicked, to sound, you know, like them. And at the same time, also the capabilities to produce photographs of you, and that's not you. You know, there are some real considerations and concerns about how powerful this technology eventually will become, and there won't really be, you know, any way to hold it back. I mean, it's already out.
And I'm not
like the Pandora, like it's out of the box now.
Like in my industry, I'm fearful of the lost jobs for people. Like, I would never let someone go to do that, to introduce AI to save money, because they're people, like, you know.
Yeah, and
that's kind of,
I think that's going to be a very interesting conversation as well, because at least like in my industry, you know, listen, homes still need to be built.
Yeah, you can't replace you. Yeah, that's not how that works.
Well, you can replace parts of me, I think, with AI, but I think we'll talk about that too, because at the base level, what I realized was when I started using ChatGPT, and for those of you who don't know those platforms, I would encourage you to go on them. And, you know, start with the free version of it. You don't have to sign up for the advanced version.
Just learn.
Yeah. Just learn what the tools can do. And when I started with ChatGPT, I speak quickly. And so therefore I also write quickly. So therefore I miss punctuations, or I miss, you know, small prepositions and small little, you know, there was grammar. Right. That, and I was constantly looking back at my emails and saying, oh, gosh, like, I missed, you know, this.
I was in a hurry.
And was Anne. And, you know, and spell check doesn't obviously catch everything. So.
No, because if you spell it right, but you're using the wrong word.
Yeah. So my first introduction to it was just a quick copy and paste exercise to clean up the grammatical errors in my emails. That was just like the first go around of it. Mm-hmm. And I found it to be very helpful. What I didn't realize is that the prompts that you can include in the tonality of it, To change the way it sounds
delivered,
and the way it's delivered, are now in the mix. Now, in other words, you can hit a button that says, you know, increase the friendly tone of this email.
Wow.
And listen, I'm not going to say it's going to spit back perfection. It's not what I'm saying, and it oftentimes does not.
Right.
What it does do, though, is give you a baseline.
Sure.
It'll give you a baseline understanding of a clearer, more cohesive, grammatically correct thought. For those people out there who are not great business writers, it has elevated them very quickly into sending concise, clear emails to be able to get their point across, because some people just aren't strong writers. Now, at its base level, that's a very interesting tool, right?
Sure.
You know, let's just take, you know, a couple of people who are maybe on the Design Coach team. You know, who you know, aren't necessarily, you know, they're great speakers, but not great writers. You know, listen, you know how long it can take you sometimes to craft the right email. I mean, you've done this.
Yes.
We've all done this in business.
Every day.
We've all done this in business where you're thinking about like, how's that sentence sound? Like, does that make sense? And what I have found is if I'm trying to, what I do is I will take my email and I will write it out the way that I know that I want it to sound. I'll check the grammatical errors. And then if there's a structure component, this is where I have found it extremely helpful as well. If I want to summarize what I'm trying to say, because I feel like I'm rambling in the email, I'll send it through a summary exercise. Please bullet point the salient points that we think are, you know, X, Y, Z, you know, and emphasize the following things. AI is as only as good as your prompts. The more information you include, the better the output's going to be. Now, what I find fascinating is when I went on to my next tool after ChatGPT, which, by the way, I'm only using it in its at its base stage. I know that it can do a lot. I know everyone, you know, if you email me and you're like, it does way, I understand that it does way more than that, right? Like, save your email because I'm in the learning stage like everybody else. But I was I was interested to hear your take on it because I feel like everyone is in that same place. Mm-hmm. They realize that it's here. They realize that there could be wild benefits of accelerating the way we attack disease.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
Even urban planning, transportation. Listen, it's already in your world. You just don't know it.
Right.
Like, it's already on your social media, and it's been there for years. Those algorithms that are sort of figuring out what you're going to view next and what you like are in a constant state of AI and have been doing so for a really long time.
Right.
So just because it's to the forefront in actual programs and tools you can use doesn't mean that it hasn't been here.
Well, no, I mean,
FedEx, UPS, I mean, all of that AI has been, it's been Microsoft, they've been
forever.
Doing this for a while.
Right? Absolutely.
So it's like, so if you're surprised by it, it's because you just haven't really noticed it. And I think when we talk about these tools and it relates to interior design, I will tell you that from a professional perspective, it can take younger professionals that maybe struggle with business writing, and it absolutely can help accelerate the way to craft a good email.
Sure.
Now, here's where it goes wrong. If you don't proof the email to make sure that it sounds remotely like you, okay, it won't personalize it like you. You know, there's a way everybody writes and there's a way everyone speaks that is uniquely slightly different than everyone else. Phrases you use, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just the way you punctuate as well.
Mm-hmm.
That AI is not necessarily going to pick up on.
Right.
But some tools are starting to write like me, and we'll talk about that. Like, they're starting to understand the words I like to use and my phraseology. Like, that's been really interesting to sort of see how it's improving every time I use the tool as a closer reflection of me in mm-hmm. communication. But if you are a young professional and you're struggling with how to write a coherent thought or a series of thoughts or a summary, and you're trying to communicate it with maybe your lack of experience in business writing,
mm-hmm.
I will tell you that's a huge advantage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have to understand what you're sending. Obviously, that goes without saying. You have to understand that the information that you're putting in this document, you have to be able to explain at some point, right?
True.
Because that does happen. You can't just plagiarize your way through business communications. I mean, hopefully what you're communicating is an actionable item to a client in interior design that, you know, AI has helped you just clean up the thought. What I do find as well as is in this fast-paced business environment, especially with my clients, they want executive summaries. And I'm gonna phrase it this way. We're so inundated lately, especially on the political side, or have been, with word mm-hmm. salads. Word salads. Like well, that just don't mean anything.
Right.
Like, yes, you spoke and you might have even sounded good doing it. You didn't say anything.
Right.
Politicians are famous for this. I think one of the reasons we're in the environment that we're in right now on the political side is because we've been word salad to death.
We're sick of it.
We're
yeah.
tired of it. We just want to be given it. Just give it to me straight.
Yeah, just get actually
to, get
say
to
something.
The facts.
Right.
Give it to me straight. Let me make an informed decision as an adult, right, as part of the electorate. And let me make a decision as to whether or not that's what I want or what I see for the vision of whatever it is.
Right.
My community, my state, my country. Right. Like, that's give me the facts and give it to me straight. Let me make an evaluation. That's where I think the ability to distill communications has been really, really beneficial
mm-hmm.
for everybody, especially like when I'm thinking about coordinating my team. I do encourage them to use that tool to clean up the communication to see if there's a way to just say it better. Now, here's what I have found. I have found that sometimes I'll put it in ChatGPT and it spits it back and that's not what I want.
Right. Right. That's not what I said at all.
Not really what I meant at all. Okay.
Right.
But if you think of it this way, if you think of ChatGPT as Photoshop for communications, where you, in Photoshop, you take a picture and you make it better, You enhance it. You modify it to make the picture look more enticing, more clear, more interesting. That's the same way to think about ChatGPT as it relates to communication. You're enhancing. If it's not real business thought that you can stand behind from an experience perspective, in other words, if you're just faking it and you're using it as a mask, that'll eventually, you know.
Show itself.
It'll show itself, but it also won't be good. Because I have had people get their head over their skis, and no one on my team, but I have had people when I've looked at these things and I'm like, well, that's not exactly tailored to this specific instance. And so you have to be careful right now of AI's generalities, right?
Right.
Because it's trying to pull from multiple sources to be able to give you some sort of amalgam of the universe's understanding, but that universe is only as good as what it's pulling from.
Right. And it's fairly new.
It's fairly new.
Oh, yeah.
And so what it's pulling, I think you have to be very careful. But here's where I think that the game changer is one of the platforms I've been using is called Perplexity.
Okay.
Now, we're going to do this in real time on my phone when we come back from the break. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about this platform called Perplexity that I believe is, right now, it seems to be the most dynamic tool that I think I've used.
Okay.
But what it's doing for the ability to research, for the ability to have an understanding of how AI might have such a positive and profound impact and an understanding of what it's capable of doing, Perplexity is one that I absolutely encourage you guys to try. Hmm. And we're going to do a live demonstration here.
Okay.
When we come back from the break. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Welcome back, everybody. Good morning. Happy Sunday. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. And we're having our introductory discussion about AI. And in the last segment, we talked a little bit about ChatGPT. Mm-hmm. And how, from a business communications perspective, we have found it to be an extremely helpful tool. I know, again, that's only scratching the surface of what it's capable of doing. But again, like everybody in this space, I think we're all learning.
Of course.
We're learning how to use the tools.
Yeah.
We're learning why they're relevant or not relevant to us. I think you're going to find that these tools are going to be extremely relevant. And so ChatGPT was where I started. And that's kind of what we talked about in the last segment. But I wanted to bring to everybody's attention this next platform that I think has been wildly interesting. It's just so interesting to me.
Okay.
And partly because I am a researcher. I love learning. I like learning about new things. And I'm sure ChatGPT has obviously components of this as well. I'm not saying that it doesn't.
Right.
What I am saying is that Perplexity adds a dimensionality to it that I think is just from its user interface is really easy.
What is Perplexity do?
So Perplexity is, to me, at least I am going to explain this to you just in my terms.
Okay.
And I'm not an expert. I'm just telling you how I see it as of right now.
Okay.
And this snapshot could change in a month. I'll let you know. Right now, it's almost like it's like what Google was early when you needed to find out information about something.
Okay.
And it's combined with, let's just say, what YouTube was. Like, let's say you were trying to fix a particular brand of, I don't know, lawnmower, washing machine, whatever it was. And you needed a how-to video.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube was extremely beneficial learning tool. Because people are posting all of this amazing content that helps you get unstuck.
Right.
What I'm loving about Perplexity is that it's informational, it can teach, and it grabs resources and it cites the resources that it's pulling from. So it footnotes it, which I think is great because it tells you what it's doing is it's being transparent about where it's pulling the information from.
Sure.
Which I like because therefore I can go then to the original source and be like, is that really out there?
Right. Gauge the credibility.
If you've never perplexed yourself,
do it. No.
It's fast. We're doing you.
Oh, no.
No, I'm doing
not.
A live demonstration.
No.
Yes. And I'm going to start with myself.
Okay. Start with yourself.
So all I did was go out of Perplexity and I said, who is Philip Sassano, the design coach? It's all I put in.
Okay.
Here's what it pulled. Okay. Philip Sassano is the founder and principal of the Design Coach LLC based in Harvin, Illinois, with over 25 years experience. He specializes in luxury interior design, remodeling, and lifestyle management. His firm operates from the historic Starline factory building and emphasizes personalized design that reflects clients' unique lifestyles and aspirations. Sasana also hosts the Design Coach radio show on WLKG Lake Geneva 96.1, sharing insights on design and leadership. A graduate of Northern Illinois University with a BFA, he integrates his expertise as an artist, contractor, and designer into his work. That's their summary of me, and then there's all these photos of me.
Hmm.
In just who is this guy? Okay?
Okay.
Now, if you scroll down in that same category, it has a related section, which I love. Who inspired Philip Sasano to start the Design Coach? Or what inspired me to start the Design Coach? How does Philip Sasano's background in fine art influence his approach? What makes the Design Coach approach to luxury interior design unique? Wow. Can you share some examples of projects Philip Sasano has worked on? So in other words, if you're like, as far as a research tool, this is incredible. So all I'm going to do is hit the plus sign on what inspired Philip Sasano to start the Design Coach. I'm going to hit the plus sign. It's going to cue in the prompt. And here's what came up. Philip Sasano was inspired to start the Design Coach by his lifelong passion for creating meaningful spaces that reflect individuality. Growing up in a shared basement bedroom, he used his corner as a creative sanctuary, fostering his love for design and self-expression. This childhood drive evolved into a mission to help others rediscover their stories and celebrate them through personalized spaces. His approach emphasizes authenticity over trends, aiming to craft environments that connect people to their passions and loved ones. Nancy, I could not have written that better.
That's true.
No, think now.
Yeah.
Think about that for a minute. Now, here's probably where it pulled from. Okay. It probably pulled from my latest origin story that I posted on my website. I have written a number of articles on LinkedIn. And so for those of you who are trying to figure out how does it know this, what it's doing is it's pulling as much information as it can that's current to be able to come up with this synopsis. And it did it in about 10 seconds. Now, Nancy, if you were reading this, do you believe that the last two statements that I read to you from Perplexity are an accurate reflection of me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
pretty close to dead on.
Pretty close. Yeah.
Pretty close.
Now, I may have actually said those things about you before. I mean, you're right. But it's pulling from something that you have already put out there. What happens if there's nothing out there? It just doesn't respond. Like, as long as it's gathering information that you have already vetted and you have published, if it's grabbing something that's not good from somewhere, how do you, like, I don't know.
But that's it, right? Like, but that's why I like the sourcing. True. That's why I like where's that source coming from to make that statement? I think if we lose the sourcing in AI, in other words, it just becomes a non-transparent informational platform. I think the transparency is where I have to encourage people to be very, very, like, that's something I think we have to fight for.
Right.
If AI is going to make a statement about you, about your business, about anything, you want to know a topic, a subject, whatever it is, you'd like to know where that's coming from.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so I think the sourcing of everything is what I like about Perplexity is I get to know where that information is coming from. But think about how dynamic it's going to be or how difficult it may be when it comes to sort of like as it starts to pull more information.
Mm-hmm. Managing it all. Uh-huh.
The challenges with this information, we just have to always make sure that the benefits are going to, right?
Outweigh
the challenges
for
of it.
Sure.
And that's where I think everyone's wrestling with that.
And I think that if you aren't familiar with or you don't plan on using something like that, how do you manage your own information in that case? So like, you know, somebody else is using it on a regular basis. They find things out about you. They decide not to do business with you for some reason. And you don't even know that information was there and it's not accurate.
Yeah, but let's talk about this. Let's just talk about it from a base level of entrepreneurship.
Right.
So take it off of me for a moment. Like, okay. That's one aspect. But let's just say that, like, one of my passions is encouraging the next generation of entrepreneurs. It's one of the things that I'm excited about with our opening of the vault in 2025, later, you know, mid-year, right around May, is my ability to do some community outreach to encourage especially people who have always wanted to go into business for themselves. Mm-hmm. How do they do it?
Right.
Now, I have to tell you, navigating the SBA and navigating some of these governmental agencies or even the state agencies has been a challenge over the years. I mean, I've been doing business for over 25 years. Mm-hmm. That's been a constant challenge, is the responsiveness of the agencies and anyone within the bureaucracy of a state or a federal government to coach and teach people how to open up a business.
Right.
So unless you went to business school, which most people didn't, okay, there are a lot of hardworking people out there that think that they can make a go of it, but they don't necessarily have the business education.
Right.
Or even the understanding of where to begin. Now, take that to AI. You have a dream, you have something you want to do, you're trying to research, and you type into Perplexity, outline the process for opening a business in Wisconsin. Now, give me a business, any business.
Flower shop.
A flower shop. I mean, this is amazing, right? A flower shop in Wisconsin, okay? That was the prompt. Now, that's a really basic prompt. You can get super granular with these.
Right.
What it did is it said, to open a flower shop in Wisconsin, follow these steps. They encourage you to write a business plan. Okay? Which I encourage people to do.
Yeah. You have
even
to have
if
one.
Even, there's never been a business plan that you're going to write, though, that's going to work, just so you're
aware. No, right.
Okay? It's not about the business plan working. It's about giving you a baseline so that you can pivot and you can morph your plan when the things that you've tested go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We're not going to get into that on today's show. But for the purposes of this tool, it outlines then seven steps, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So make a business plan. Choose your business structure, right? LLC. Mm-hmm. Obtain licensings and permits, okay? And it goes on to tell you the fees associated with those and then gives you the links to be able to walk you through the process. And the seven steps here are plan your business, choose a business structure, obtain licenses and permits, secure funding, find a location, establish your vendor relationships, market your shop.
And
now if you don't have any business education, you might miss a step here or there, or you might do them out of order, right? Now, I'm not saying this is the proper order.
Right.
All I'm saying is you might miss a step. But if you're thinking about starting a business and you were relying on Google.
That's what I was just getting ready
Google
to say.
Google is going to shove to the forefront everybody who wants to sell you something.
Right.
And then make you sign on to a $45 a month plan to help you run your company. And that's their revenue stream. Now, I'm not saying that they don't want to help you. I'm not saying that SEO is bad. All I'm saying is SEO is now messy.
Uh-huh.
Because all it does is put like luxury interior design and Wayfair pops up.
That's true.
I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Like it's now
it's
whoever pays
ads.
The most
right.
gets to the front of your search engine.
Mm-hmm.
AI is changing that. I hope that's another thing that doesn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
The advertising in this is going to make it really messy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it compromises, like you said, it compromises the integrity of the information because they've paid to be there. So they could be the worst company on the planet, but they're at the top of the list.
They paid the most.
Because they paid the most.
Mm-hmm.
And that isn't accurate.
Mm-hmm. And then it goes on to ask, remember I asked about the related questions?
Uh-huh.
So that was just an outline from a very basic, like not very thorough prompt.
Right.
Anybody who's an AI expert understands that that was like a very remedial second grade prompt.
Right.
Okay. I understand that it wasn't filled with everything I could have filled it with. That's not the point.
Right.
Again, the thicker the prompt, the better the information,
mm-hmm.
the more accurate the information, the more useful the information, sometimes even the more personalized the information. But the related topics are fantastic. What are the specific licenses and permits required to operate a flower shop in Wisconsin? That's a related topic.
Mm-hmm.
How do I choose a suitable location for my flower shop in Wisconsin? What are the best practices for securing funding? How can I effectively market my flower shop to attract customers? Like, if you think about the amount of and the ability for this particular tool to be able to push you in the right direction, I'm not saying it's doing the work for you. What I'm saying is, what an amazing tool to level up fast. If you don't think you're not going to, I heard this said, and I believe it, and we're going to have to go to the break here in a minute. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Midjourney and some of these other visualization softwares. But when it comes to AI, it's not that you're going to lose your job to AI. You're going to lose your job to somebody who understands it better than you. Mm. And is using it as a more effective tool.
Right.
Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Okay, this is going to be fun. So welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. And we've been talking throughout the course of the morning about AI and what it means. And I think for the interior design industry, it means a lot of things. I don't think we can cover all of those on today's show. I think I want to use this as a cursory beginning, you know, launch point for this conversation. And I want to start with going back to this Perplexity platform, and I want you to do it to yourself. But you can't just type in Nancy Douglas, Nancy.
I typed in who is Nancy Douglas, but there's like six of us.
No. Okay. Here's your prompt. Let's refine the prompt.
Okay.
Who is Nancy Douglas associated with WLKG? Lake 96.1, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. So it's giving you, what your association with that radio station is, right, and the general location of where you live. That'll help narrow down the millions of Nancy Douglases that there may be running around out there, okay? Now you're going to tell me what came up.
Here I am.
Okay. Well, okay, what's the first thing that came up at the top? Photos of you, yes?
Yes.
Okay. Are they good photos at least?
No mug shots, so that's
oh,
good.
Okay, plus. Always a plus. No mug shots.
There aren't
what
any.
What does it say? I'm curious. Like, what does
me.
It say?
It says I... Jeez.
Go.
Nancy Douglas is the general manager of CTJ Communications, which owns and operates WLKG in Lake Geneva. She began her career at WLKG in 2002, became general manager in 2004.
Is that correct?
It is.
Okay.
Nancy co-hosts the award-winning Sunday morning talk show Life Matters on Lake 96.1. She served on the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association board and is recognized for her contributions to broadcasting and community engagement.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Okay, what are the related topics?
What is Nancy Douglas's role at CTJ Communications? Okay. How long has Nancy been with Lake 96.1? What is the WBA award-winning Sunday morning talk show that Nancy Douglas co-hosts?
Awesome.
How did she start her career in radio? What
Hit that. I want to see what it says and see if it's right. This is fascinating. See, these related topics, and if you haven't gone out of perplexity.com and looked yourself up with your location and who you work for and like sort of where you live, you got to do it.
It's kind of creepy.
Do it. Listen, if you people don't think out there, you need to know what these platforms know and how they're pitching you. You have to understand this technology, and you have to do it today. Okay,
Nancy
go. What
Douglas
does it say?
Began her radio career at WLKG in 2002 as an accountant executive after previously working in print media in Indianapolis and Wisconsin.
Wow.
True. She transitioned into radio when she and her husband moved to Wisconsin in 2001, making the start of her journey in broadcasting.
Accurate?
Mm-hmm.
Keep going.
Wow.
Yeah, right?
Well, that's the answer for that.
No, but, okay, Nancy, do you understand what this does? Like, do you understand what, like, that what this really means? You would never get that kind of summary from Google.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't.
You would get
Not
a bunch of
all.
Things that popped up, and so the ability to research people, topics, whatever. Like, I'm going to give you this one. Here's one that I love that I use it for. Luke and I use it for cocktails related to modifiers we've never used. So let's take it off of people. Let's take it onto stuff. Okay, I love. Okay. I love allspice dram. Okay. And allspice dram is my new modifier. Allspice dram. So best allspice dram cocktails. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Because for allspice dram, for those of you who don't know, it's an extremely potent liqueur that has this allspice vibe to it that makes old fashions take some like over the top. If all I did in Perplexity was put in allspice dram cocktails, and not even like best, most popular, because sometimes I don't want the most popular.
Right.
I just want something right crafted, right? I typed in allspice dram cocktails.
How many of them are there?
Here they go. It's just, it's firing them up.
Oh.
Okay.
It's thinking.
Yep. Okay. This is, okay. Oh, and these are some of our favorites too. So listen to this. So allspice dram is a versatile liqueur perfect for serving delicious cocktails. Tiki cocktails. So it's separated them. Tiki cocktails. One is called Three Dots and a Dash. One is called, I've had that. One is called Navy Grog. One is called Planter's Punch. Ancient Mariner rum-based drink. Like, and then you can hit on the recipes.
And it'll give you the right.
It also gives you the whiskey-based. I've had this drink called the Lion's Tail, which combines bourbon, fresh lime, allspice dram, simple syrup, and Angostura bitters. Phenomenal drink.
Yeah?
Super simple. A winter old-fashioned rye whiskey, port, allspice dram, and orange bitters. And then, again, because it cites the transparency of where it pulled the information,
right.
You click the footnote, and it'll take you to the recipe.
Huh.
It'll take you to where it found the information. And then it goes on to be like, other interesting cocktails. So non-whiskey based. I've had this cocktail with Luke, Jalisco Pear. It's a tequila-based cocktail with pear spirits and allspice dram. So think of pear,
mm-hmm.
and then think of dram, like allspice, and then right. think tequila. It is a wonderfully
wow.
clean, interesting drink
yeah.
that's deeper than your normal tequila drink. The Tempting Tigress is another one, a lion's tail using a variation of tiramisu syrup. And then the Sherpa, bourbon, allspice dram, dry curacao, and orange bitters. Like, and then it gives you pro tip. Pro tip. I love this. Allspice dram originates from Jamaica and adds warm, spicy notes to cocktails, making it especially popular in tiki and fall-themed drinks.
Huh.
If you're not a mixologist, but you want to learn mixology...
There you go.
It's telling you not only the recipes, but it's also giving you the why you use it. Now, you know me. I love to riff on my cocktails.
Mm-hmm.
I have started doing this for things that I historically have not been very good at. Let me give you an example. Julie wants me, now that the kids are a little grown, like she's like, can you cook? Like, can you like make a meal every week? Like, that would help me out a lot. She's
right.
traveling a lot. And she's absolutely right. But my knowledge of cooking, because first of all, I haven't done it. I do paninis, pancakes, and ravioli.
Oh.
And pasta. I'm not very versatile with cooking. I should be, though, because it's a very creative exercise.
Yeah.
So recently,
Crock-pots.
Crock pot. That's easy.
Get
but
a crock
I've
pot.
Also been doing things like, okay, how do I make the ultimate, bolognese sauce?
Right.
How do I make an awesome vodka sauce? And I've been using Perplexity to do that. So it's going to change the way we source information. Are we going to necessarily need a lot of books?
Yeah, that's a...
So you said it's going to change art. Is it going to change publishing? I have to assume yes.
Yeah.
Just think about that for a moment. Because what's happening is the access to information was transformative with Google and all of the search engines that are out there. Then there were privacy concerns. So then certain search engines that people have moved to that don't harvest your data
right.
became popular. So there was an evolution there.
Right.
Well, where's this going next? Like all of these, ChatGPT and OpenAI and Perplexity. Like I'm just saying, these platforms are going to have to morph and evolve.
But they're only as good as the information that's put into them.
Yeah, but everything now is out there. See,
True.
If you think you're a secret anymore.
Oh, well, welcome to driver's licenses. Come on.
Here's
for
the
a
thing,
long time.
There are people who legitimately are like, wow, no, I don't want that out there. Well, if you
right.
work for anyone, if you're on a website, if you publish anything on Instagram, if you're on social media,
Too
it's
late.
Out there already.
Mm-hmm. Too late. Yep.
We're past this point now. And I think it is incumbent upon everybody. And if you're listening today, I got to tell you, knowledge is power with these tools. The more you understand them, the more you can maybe use them as a little bit of an informational genie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you don't know something and you need to level up on a topic quickly. This is a great way to do it.
Right.
I mean, I've even had on design build, I've even encouraged my employees to be like, listen, go ahead and take the top resources on design build and the process and the sequencing and match it up against our process to make sure that our process is in alignment with best practices.
Right.
We're using it as a benchmarking tool.
Sure. That's totally common sense. Right.
And it does it in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Philip, there's a really interesting step that's popping up. They're doing this interim review at this particular juncture. We should be adding that into our workflow. Do you understand like how it, like as far as process improvement, delivery of service, delivery of communication, yeah, access to information, how much that these platforms are going to transform that? And you don't have a year to figure this out.
No.
You don't.
Because the other thing is that the new administration in D.C. is all for forwarding AI.
And efficiency.
Efficient.
Yes.
Productive.
And if AI is going to help them get there, you know they're going to use it.
Yep. And making sure that everybody else has access to it so that they can also use it.
Now let's go to design. Let's go to visualization because okay, I want to cover this before we end the show here.
Yeah, you have 2 minutes.
Midjourney is one of those visualization software, and that's just one of them. Midjourney is just one of them. And I've started practicing with this where I've put the prompts in to create virtual interiors.
Hmm.
One of the things that I did is I had a client with a particularly really difficult aesthetic, sort of like Moroccan Americana meets rural. Yeah, I know you're looking, you're making that face. Hmm. But if you think of the style mashups that you know, a lot of is very popular right now. People don't just want to be pigeonholed by one style.
Right.
They want to sort of help define their own. Midjourney and these visualization tools are creating lifelike interiors via prompt that start as wonderful inspiration sheets for the client to be able to begin to articulate to you what they like and what they don't like.
Right.
It is the new magazine article. Remember when you would grab magazines and look through magazines and you would rip them out and then your ransom note would
end up
on my table of at my studio?
Right.
Now we're trying to get to your visual voice faster, and we're using the AI tools like Midjourney to get us there. My son, who is not very artistically inclined, he's musically inclined, but he's not a drawer, is creating logos.
Sure.
With this tool.
Yeah.
That's been out there forever. In fact, now on your Instagram right now, you have images that are being shown that are AI generated that look like actual photographs. Wouldn't you like to know if that's a real interior or one that was generated via AI? There has to be regulation that gets put in place where if you post something that is not real, the viewer should know that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do we regulate that?
I think the FCC is struggling because I think that's partly in their wheelhouse as far as broadcasters and things like that. But it's those same properties of whatever regulation they come up with is going to spill over to the other industries and be a baseline. But yeah, they're working on that. But you're absolutely right. The transparency
has to be key,
and Perplexity appears to have it. So
has it? Let's hope they keep it.
Right.
Right. And at the same time, as we look to sort of explore where AI takes us in interior design and building, you're going to get better understanding of the process and sequencing with a click of a button. You're going to have to be a professional both on the design and the build side that needs to understand what your clients have access to in the same way that they were accessing Pinterest.
Right.
In the same way they were accessing House and what's influencing them. If you're behind on understanding what these tools can do, at some point you're going to get picked off by it if you're not paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's our AI starting platform for this morning. Thank you for joining me on this Sunday. Thank you for listening. You've been listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Have a great day, everybody. You've been coached.